Hello and welcome to In the Art Scene podcast, an art podcast that has it all. I'm your host, Galina Marquez, and I invite fascinating people to talk about their personal creative journeys, success stories, and inspiration. We talk about art business and marketing, how to find your creative voice, and all the new trends in the art world, like NFT, AI, and such. Join me and my guest for today's conversation.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to In the Art Scene podcast. This is take two of the interview with amazing textile artist, Bree Angela. Hi, Bree. And right off the bat, let's just talk about who you are, where you are, and what kind of work you are doing, because what you're doing, I can even see, you guys can't see it, but I can see amazing, humongous fabric flowers hanging on her background. It's just something mind-blowing. And that's the little tiny piece of the scale that Bree is working in. So yeah, let's just jump right into it, and please introduce yourself.
Okay. Hi, I'm Bree Angela, and I'm out here in Denver. I'm a New York native, but moved out here about like 12 or 13 years ago. And I've always been a creative artist, but I've found my way into textiles. And ever since, I've just been like exploring ways to create opportunities for touch, tactile learning experiences, and just like allowing a space for especially kids to play. And I like call myself a designer of play, because everything that I do is like for people to interact with and to really like explore spaces, and especially textures. I love textures, always have. And so now I'm creating these imaginative, like giant scale play spaces. And right now I'm nearing the end of a project where we're creating like an entire space dedicated to a garden. So I'm making these gigantic, you know, textile flower sculptures, and, you know, mushrooms that are bigger than me, and, you know, all for little infants and toddlers to go play into. Amazing. So, yeah, so it's a lot of fun. I'm moving away from more like, I guess you say like historically themed kind of spaces, and moving more into imaginative kind of spaces. So
it is amazing. I want to ask you more about that, and about the historically themed and imaginative and whatever. But the whole idea of like, I know that you're making big installations in the museums, and then, to me and to many other people, the installation in the museum is something that is, you know, has a barrier, like a rope, please don't touch signs, and that kind of stuff. The idea that you are making it for the opposite purpose, to be interacted with and touched and played with, it's so new and so interesting. And I think that this is something that we are missing, this interaction with art, not just being an observer, but being an active participant. So I really want to ask you about all of that. But before we get to that, I want to ask you about your journey, because you said that you have been always creative, and then you found yourself in textiles. So I want to hear about the journey. How did that happen?
Ever since I was young, I've always painted, and I know how to draw. I've just had this natural talent at it. Maybe it's because I come from a line of artists. Maybe it's genetic, I don't know. But
I sure hope so, because I have a little one.
Yeah, so like I was just basically the next in line to be creative, but I can tell you the rest of my other parts of my family, it's not that way. So I don't know how it happens, but I have the creative gene. And so I've always loved painting and drawing. I was really great at it, to the point where I got scholarships to go to school. I went to Pratt Institute and I got great grades and had professors that like would love my work. And so I just thought I would be this illustrator, You know, I thought that was the goal. That's what I was going to do. And suddenly, you know, there was a lot of life changes happening where I just found like I needed to change what I was doing. You know, like when you have a big, like traumatic event, like my parents passed away, and I just felt like I needed to switch it up and change the materials that I was working with. And I've always loved fabrics. And I didn't really think of myself as like a fashion designer. That wasn't what I wanted to do. But I always loved working with children. That was like my other thing I always did. Like I kind of have led this path of like two different parallel existences at once. I've always worked with children and I've always been an artist. So like it was like something that organically happened. I started playing around with textiles and then I met someone that asked me to make pillows for a children's space. And then the next thing you know, I was making costumes and puppets, and it kind of just like turned into this thing where people started to come to me, especially museums, to introduce this softness, this interactive component to like, how can I get the children more engaged, you know? And so it just like naturally flowed. And here I am as a textile artist. And now I'm like, here I am. And I love what I'm doing, but I don't even know if that's what it is that I am. You know, it's just like, I just love exploring materials and getting kids and families to kind of interact with each other. And now I'm trying to bring it to the next level. Like, how do I make it more purposeful? How do I make it have more meaning? How do I make these open-ended play spaces where kids can feel empowered and where families can learn from each other? You know, like I'm trying to make a space that I don't know if it exists yet. So I'm not sure what it is that I'm trying to achieve. But right now I'm doing it through textiles and touch because I think that's incredibly important, like the touch part about it. Because without it, we lose connection to each other, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I can be the one person, you know, to like incorporate it into these more like, you know, like you said, these spaces where you're not allowed to touch, like I'm excited about that. And I want to keep exploring it and keep, you know, I don't know, just pushing textiles to a place that, you know, it's new and exciting. So
I have so many questions just from what you just said. So first of all, I wanted to ask you how does it translate with your grief that the idea that you needed to switch the medium after your parents passing? Because you're totally free to say that this is, you know, too personal and you don't want to discuss it, but I'm, you know, being a psychology geek and especially exploring creatives' minds, I'm really curious always to hear about this connection between the ideas, the mediums, and how it relates to what you were feeling or what you were going through in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess for me, when I paint, it's incredibly spiritual. I don't know how it works, but I paint and it comes out and I don't know if it's my subconscious or it's spiritually connected and it just comes out. But those paintings that I have always done were either gifts just to like share my energy with someone for healing, or it was just my way of like expressing my inner emotions out. And it was just getting really dark. And I don't know if it scared me or if it was just like me needing to get it out. It was just, I felt like by using different materials, it was like accessing a different part of my brain. You know what I mean? Like it was like, I no longer needed to, dwell in that emotion. I could move past it and just start manipulating in a different way, if that makes any sense. It's just like I almost like had to have like an identity shift. I just had to change my way of doing things in order to feel different, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, totally does.
And it did. It helped me a lot. It's interesting. Like I don't even like identify with my last name. I just went with my middle name, Briangela, because it was like my way of just like, I guess maybe disconnecting from my roots, right? Or from like my family system of like needing the mom and dad. It was like, okay, this is me now. This is like, I'm going to do something totally different because I'm going to fly off on my own. You know what I mean? Like it was definitely a huge shift, and it allowed me to feel free to express myself differently, you know, and more like softly and more in a joyful way. I also noticed colors change significantly. Like everything I did was just like, I was trying to find the joy of life, I guess, and just like helping children. I guess, you know, like when you're really hurt and sad, the best thing you can do is try to help other people, right? And so I think that what I was doing was trying to, and what I continue to do is like heal my own inner child by like helping children, or like finding ways to bring joy to children's lives by designing things for them to play in and spaces for them to feel safe in, because a lot of that was attached to my own parents of just like, you know, there was an identity that came with that where, you know, it was just like, it was a hard, you know, I had a kind of a rough childhood, slightly dysfunctional. and so, I don't know. I feel like, now as I've moved into this more soft way of looking at the world, it's my way of like helping children and using brighter colors, using soft spaces, having these textures and touches and connections. And it's just like it's a lot lighter than where I was going with my art. Mm-hmm. And I hope one day that I can like take this and like translate it back into my art, like my paintings. Mm-hmm. Because I do have goals for children's books. I've always wanted to be a children's book illustrator. And so now I'm trying to figure out, how do I incorporate the two? Like, how do I bring my textiles into a children's book?
Oh, that sounds so interesting. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So it's because I'm not sure I'm there yet with painting. I know that sounds strange, but maybe artists can understand that. It's like when I go to paint, the anger comes out, or the sadness, or whatever it is. There's this energy that comes out that's a lot darker than when I use my textiles. It's like two different, almost like two different people, or, you know, I tap into something different when I use different materials.
I totally get it. Get it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Wow. Well, you also mentioned that you have been working with children all along. Mm-hmm. So how, when have you been a teacher? Can you talk a little bit more about this?
Sure. So when I was in college in Brooklyn, I did a work study program, and I just so happened to be placed with America Reads, and I went into a early childhood center that was in the middle of Bedford-Stuyvesant, like in the middle of the worst part of Brooklyn. And I witnessed like these beautiful children being born into something they didn't choose. And it was a life-changing experience for me. And it made me notice the light I brought into the space and how creativity could like empower and change a child and just like pull out potentials and it was just a beautiful thing to see. And ever since that moment, I always, while I pursued my art career, continued to work with children. A lot of it was in early childhood centers, but it was after that I did more nonprofit work. And so I would always work with kids from anywhere from 6 to 18, mm-hmm. Working in just bringing, a lot of it was me bringing textiles to them and just trying to do more experimental, hands-on, open-ended kind of play, really. And more recently, I've worked with kids in the inner city environments where I am there. They're like my interns, like mm-hmm. internships for like creative job training. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a lot of fun. And I'll bring like with the learning how to do dye, learning how to, you know, manipulate fabrics and just like sewing skills, and how do we, you know, I'm always trying to get them to see how to make money, you know, mm-hmm. with their art and mm-hmm. how it's possible. So it's always, I mean, I've had this huge journey of working with children of all ages, and it's very like, it grounds me. It keeps me sane, because the art industry can be a lot of ego, and it can be a lot of individual work, you know, like, look at me, it's, you know, where I have a lot of like community based goals, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy working with the communities and just, you know, having things, everything that I do, I'm like, how can I get kids involved in this? How can I, you know, get them to participate and see that they have value and that they have like these incredible ideas. And honestly, it like inspires me to make more things. Like, so like the children are my muse, they're my inspiration. And so every time I'm like too focused in on being an artist, I kind of have to make sure that I go and do a little volunteer work or have a little internship program going, or just like get involved again. Like it definitely keeps me focused on the goal, I guess, like what it is that I'm actually trying to do. And that's like make the world a better place with the future, and our future is our kids. So like,
yeah,
if I can help in any way, then I have to make sure that I'm working with the kids.
That's actually amazing. I have a very special soft spot for creatives and organizations who are working with children specifically. And I have interviewed a number of people who are doing different programs, helping kids to tap into their creativity and acquire some skills. And it's actually amazing what you said, that you are not only helping them to be creatives and become artists, but also show them that these are actual real life skills, and then they can apply it into something that can make them a living. Especially in the inner cities, I think this is amazing, and this is important. It's important to raise the new generation of people who are not afraid of expressing themselves creatively, but also not struggling. You know, like a lot of hungry artists around the world, right? So yeah, that's amazing what you do. Absolutely.
And being honest with them.
Yes.
That's one thing I always, like, I'll be in the room with several other teachers or directors, and they'll kind of give me like a little side eye. But I'm just like, no, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to let them know how hard it is. I'm going to let them know rejection comes with the territory and all of these things. Or like, you know, for example, like you're really shy and you don't like to talk about your work. Well, guess what? You're not going to make it, you know, like you better get it together, because that's not going to work. And maybe that's not who you are, and that's okay. But like, you need to know in the art industry, you're going to have to talk to a lot of people and you're going to have to network, and you know, it's hard and it's not easy. And I love like just getting kids to like understand that. And, mm-hmm. and even just the ideas of like letting go of all the rules, all of these rules that we've been told that like, this is how you do something. These kids are brilliant. And like, look at all these like YouTube millionaires, bajillionaires coming out, and they're like in their teens.
Mm-hmm.
They have great ideas. And like, I'm the person out there advocating to drop the rules. You don't necessarily need to go to college to be an artist. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's so many different avenues to get to show you like to make a living out of being a creative. And like, there's a lot of people still in the system, even if it's nonprofit, education, whatever it is, that are pushing this more traditional way of making yourself a success.
Mm-hmm.
And I just know that these kids know better. You know, they've seen it. They're watching and witnessing our catastrophe, you know, and they're learning a lot from it. And and I think that they are going to need courageous leaders that are forward thinking and just like ready to break rules and ready to like re-envision the future, because you know, all of this stress with like debt and tests and, you know what I mean? What everything mm-hmm. comes mm-hmm. with, like what it is to pursue art in college is just like, wow. I don't know. Maybe you need college for like nursing and being a doctor, but maybe not for art, you know, depending on where you're trying to go.
Yeah. But, well, there was something interesting that you said, that they are witnessing our catastrophe. And it kind of resonated with me, because I mean, this is so true. In art education, I mean, there's a lot of interesting things that kids learn when they go to art school, but pretty much all artists I've been talking to so far say that there's no good way they teach in the school on how to, you know, go in the real world and you know, make a living out of being an artist, right? So, and yet we are pushing this traditional, quote unquote, traditional way of being successful, right? Although we know that it's not working anymore. And then what mm-hmm. percentage of artists are actually being financially successful and how they get there? Sometimes it's luck, sometimes it's they are being a naturally entrepreneurial or mm-hmm. something like that, which is not every artist has, right? Sometimes the traditional ways of running the business are not going to apply for artists just because it's not in their nature. And even that is not being taught in schools. So, and yet, yes, we've been pushing for this traditional way. And I like that you're saying that, no, we shouldn't be teaching those kids this traditional ways, because they have already witnessed that it's not working. They know better.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's time to like, okay, what are your ideas, kids?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, let's listen to them a little and let's see what they have to offer, because I don't know. I just think that we're entering a new era that's going to look so different than what we've ever known. And like, how dare we think that we know how to prepare these kids for that? Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I think it's very important for them to have active participants in their future. And yeah, I don't know. I'm here to just like be honest with them. And I definitely enjoy when they get it, you know, and then you see them come back and they're so successful and they've created, you know, this great entrepreneurial kind of like adventure. And I'm just like so proud of some of the, you know, a lot of the kids that I see do these things. And I just hope that I was like just a little bit of a voice to like tell them like there's so many ways to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Just one way. You don't just need a degree. Because like you said, like I went to a really great school and I can tell you that I learned everything I needed to know through experience, not from the art school, you know? And thankfully, like Pratt, at least, was very business oriented. So we did have a lot more business than, like, say, people that I know to like diversity or something for art, where they were very experimental, which is beautiful in its own way. But like when you get out into the art industry, business is more important, which sucks. But, you know.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, totally.
You know.
Hey, In the Arts Scene listeners. I just wanted to say a quick thank you for all the support you've given me in the past year. It means more than you know. Every donation through Buy Me a Coffee and every purchase of swag helps me keep up with the production and put out a new episode every week. And I certainly appreciate if you will keep doing it. But I also feel that if you like the show this much, you deserve a little more than just a thank you. This is why I launched a Patreon page. There will be monthly live Q&As, exclusive content, and for the hardcore fans, I got some swag and keepsakes. I love this community that we are building together, and by joining my Patreon, you will help me create more content for you. Go to patreon.com/inthe art scene and join today.
Speaking of the real world success, networking, et cetera, et cetera. So you said that little by little, you started with creating some pillows and puppets for kids and then costumes and then boom, museums started approaching you. So I'm sure it wasn't a boom when museums started approaching you. So I'm really curious to know how you started working with museums. What was the first project? Did they find you? Did you pitch the idea of, the work that you do to the museum? So how does this happen in the real world?
So one thing I always tell some of my students I work with is always wear what you make or have someone else wear it, you know, like to different networking functions, even going out, be your own billboard. You know what I mean? If, especially if you're a creative that makes like wearable art, mm-hmm. you know, because that's how it happened for me. I made a Phoenix hoodie and I gave it to a friend for a gift and we went to a party and she was wearing it. And there was someone that was affiliated with museums and saw it and loved it and wanted me to work on a project at the museum. And thankfully, that went well. And then it turned into more and more. And then I am someone that makes sure I put my name on everything because, I don't know. Unfortunately, my experience in art, I've done a lot of commercial art and working for other designers. And it's kind of harsh to feel like, you know, everything that you do is kind of overlooked. Because you're the behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I put my name on everything. And I've actually had different museums, in particular the Smithsonian, contact me and say, you know, everywhere we go, nobody has their names on things. We don't know who's making these things. And we saw your work and we see, you know, saw your name and that's how we found you. And I'm like, oh,
yes.
You know, goodness.
Yes.
Hey, goodness, I put my name on there. So like, definitely make sure your name, you know, is at least stamped somewhere, like, you know, sewn in somehow. Because it is hard as an artist in the museums in particular, because you're there to make other artists shine, if you know what I mean. You're not really there for your own glory. So that's something hard to handle too.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely, wear your own work, make sure your names are on things. And, continue to network. I always say that, you know, just like get out there, jump in places, jump out of your comfort zone and just like show up to some kind of, you know, event where there's going to be a lot of people in the same kind of place that you want to work at. Like go to the places that you want to be in, you know, and then that's how you do it, really. That's how I've made my way.
So what was the first project for the museum, and what museum was that?
It was for the Denver Art Museum, and it was called Architecture. And So I had just moved to Denver. Like I was literally, like as soon as I got to Denver, magic happened. I think that was like a couple days in that I got this project, and I was doing a project based on the architecture of Denver. And
you don't even know the city.
Yeah, I had no idea what buildings are what. So honestly, looking back, it's hysterical to see the buildings I chose for like some of the pillows, because they're really not, you know, they don't really like represent Denver on its own. So but hey, they came out great. And so they loved what I did so much that they asked me to do a giant mural on the wall that would be digitally printed. And so next thing you know, I had not only the mural on the wall, but like pillars and then pillows. And it's like I suddenly had an entire space dedicated to children. And I was just like, this is a thing, you know? Wow, cool. And then the next thing you know, they loved it. Asked me to merchandise things, which I turned down, which was a really bad idea. Don't do that, kids. Oh, man. So funny. Choices, things I've done. But I definitely love that. Like, I got to. It's almost like even in education, like the role, I got to see things from a perspective that helped me to learn how to design better. You know, it's like I got to do these little tiny design projects, you know, and I saw how kids would play with them. And I saw how, you know, it would draw attention to people. And so when I got asked to do another project, I would like build on that.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do more of that? How do I really engage them and help them to like be the, like, I really love the idea of like the museum guest, like becoming the designer of the thing. Like it's not already laid out for you. It's kind of like, almost like, I love Reggio, if you know what Reggio is, like that philosophy of just like open-ended materials that can be constructed in whatever way. There's no end goal. It's like, it allows the imagination to unfold. And so I've really been like trying to explore that with all of the different, you know, tactile projects that I've made. And so as I go, it's just like the spaces get bigger, you know, and now I've been asked to help design the Maurice Sendak exhibit coming. And I'm like, that's my hero, you know, like, and I'm going to be making a rumpus room. And I'm just like, what? Like,
wow,
you know, this all came from like a hoodie, you know, and next thing you know, like it just tumbled into this thing where now it's like, wow, I can make it even more purposeful. I can really try to incorporate some ideas of like why play is so important. You know, how can you like change the environment in subtle ways to like enhance learning or to like, you know, change the level of understanding and just like get people to start exploring imagination itself, you know?
I have a question about this. So do you get to observe how people interact with your spaces to gather the information for how to build on it for the next project?
Yes. Well, I do that anyway, no matter what, I always just like stop in the museum. It's so funny. My daughter thinks I'm famous. I'm like, oh my gosh. You're fine. But she's like, that's my mom. Like,
yeah. Oh, that's so awesome.
But there is, so like on the educational teams within the museums, there are moments for like mock-ups and just like test, you know, whatever it's called. I don't know exactly what it's called, but like the master teachers will have kids come in just to like test out what happens, mm-hmm. if it's something that would be successful or not. And then we continue on with the project. But honestly, right now I'm getting a master's, like I'm doing a accelerated program to be that person, because I feel like that person is kind of missing in the things that I'm noticing. Like, I love what I've been doing, but I've been realizing that maybe it's a little more about the beauty of a space versus like innovative play,
mm-hmm.
or innovative like ways of really tapping into like how, like why play is important. How do we get parents and children to connect to each other more while also learning about their surroundings and the world, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, I'm fascinated by that kind of space, but no, there's definitely, what is it, like a process in place for testing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting in itself. I think this is a fascinating process. Not and it's more than just being an artist and creating whatever the heck you want, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have a purpose in mind, and you have to know and understand how people will interact with your creations to know that this is the right direction where you're going, and be able to pivot where you need to pivot.
Absolutely. And I have like, I don't know how to do it yet. And I'm hoping that while I'm in training for this year, I just want to start to explore how to make these spaces, I guess more, I don't know how you even like separate it, but geared towards children that have come through incredible amounts of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how to make spaces for them, you know, without singling them out, but like, mm-hmm. can you incorporate things within your designs that can help heal or help, I don't know, unlock potentials, and, you know, instead of just spaces to crawl in,
yeah.
and look pretty.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just think that design for children could be a little more purposeful.
Yeah. Oh my God. I see the future episode of us talking about how you achieved that and how you incorporated your textiles in the kids' books too.
Yeah.
Because this is like, I don't even know how to start thinking about how to marry two together. It's just.
Right. Okay. But I think that's the future, right? We have no idea. But
exactly.
It's gonna happen.
Exactly.
So I'm here for it. I don't know how it's going to happen. It's like, I just have these dreams and I don't even know how to get there, but it's like, it will happen. It's going to happen. Like, I think we're going to start to see things like these two worlds just meet that you didn't think could meet, and they do,
yeah.
you know? So
that's amazing.
Figure it out.
Well, I have another question before I forgot it. So you mentioned that Smithsonian reached out to you because they mm-hmm. found your name on the work that they liked. So mm-hmm. did you do a project for Smithsonian?
I did, for the National Museum of African American History and Culture. And it was during the riots,
wow.
which was like a trip. So it was really an honor, for sure. Especially during, you know, it was just like, wow, here I am actually working on interactive art that's just like representing the beauty and the like ultimate respect for African Americans. And just like, I was doing that as the riots were happening. So it was like really an honor. But yeah, it was super, I was like, couldn't believe it. I was flown out there and I had to like, I just felt like I made it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I was outside just taking pictures of myself. Just like, wow, look at me. Can't believe I'm here. And it was really cool. I got to do several different projects for them. And unfortunately, with the timing, it may have been a wash, but it's fine. I can at least say that I did that, you know, just because the timing, everything shut down.
Mm-hmm.
They were like a target, you know, during that time. So it was just like, I'm not sure how much of the projects I created were actually saw the light of day or if they're like holding out for another time. You know,
I'm sure that there will be, you know, appropriate time and place, and I don't think that your work would, you know, be on the shelf forever. And yeah. I also know that you have quite a rich cultural heritage yourself.
Mm-hmm, I do. Yeah, I am a mixed breed, and I'm trying to explore that some more. Like, even at the end of this program, I'm going to Italy, and I'm like, I've always been fascinated by our ancestral roots, because I have gifts and talents that I don't understand where they come from. Like, I naturally am gifted at textiles, and like, I never was raised with it. I have no idea how the heck that happened. And then I did my family tree. I mean, I always knew I was Armenian and Turkish and Italian and English, but like, I didn't realize how much of textiles came from my Turkish roots.
Mm-hmm.
And like, when I get in my art, I just really can feel my history. And then on my mom's side, we were told that there's Cherokee in us too. And the last project I just made, I look at it and I'm like, I feel my Cherokee blood in that. I'm like, wow, like, it's so cool to just, I don't know, just like see your lineage in your work. That's without amazing. Ever having like been exposed to it. It's so deep within us, you know, especially like for me as a textile artist, I just like every time I work on a textile piece, I feel women. I feel the history. Like, I can tap immediately into like the, I guess, consciousness of women. You know, I just like, as I'm weaving or braiding or beading or, you know, even just touching and sewing, it's just like centuries has, you know, have come through our, you know, our bloodlines. And so I really love that. And I just love exploring different cultures too, with what I do. You know, it's changing, you know, but it doesn't mean that there's not technique. You know, technique is like, you know, I love learning different techniques from different cultures. And, you know, of course, it's a sensitive time. And like, you know, we don't want to like, I don't know.
I think that this is the
line. I don't know.
I think that this is actually, you know, this is something. Because we've been talking all along, almost for an hour, that it is important, that the sensation of touch is really important for connection, really? For learning, for, you know, being in, like, literally in touch with something. So I think that this is an amazing way of learning different cultures from your own lineage, or maybe even not, because you know, you can learn all kinds of theoretical, like theory and history and whatever. It's all knowledge, and it's going to, you know, have a place somewhere in your brain. But until you start touching something and feeling what those people who were creating the cultural pieces were feeling when they were doing this, it's like that. This is when you really start to understand and learn and getting in touch with someone else's history, someone else's culture, someone else's heritage. I think that this is an amazing way of creating, connections and maybe, even more blurring the lines instead of, putting this narrative of us and them, but really trying to share each other's culture with each other through the tactile experience. I think Absolutely. This is an amazing way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's that's another thing that I'm thinking about is how can I express that, and maybe what I want to do is just start with my own, mm-hmm. Bloodline, my different, the family tree, how can I take different parts of my own family's histories and teach the world about the techniques and the beauty of that culture through making different tactile pieces or textile sculptures.
And also being, being such a mixed breed and taking all of those cultures and creating a mixture of them, mm-hmm. Showing that this is not necessarily, the cultures are not separate from one another. Mm-hmm. They can breed, they can mix, they can interact. Mm-hmm. I think this is an amazing way, and you're an amazing example of that.
Oh, thank you. Well, I want to touch on that because the more people you meet, the more you realize that's the most of us, you know?
Yeah.
And so let's all be honest and make some art dedicated to that and the beauty that we are so mixed, that we can all work together. So I don't know. I'm idealistic. I have visions of peace, we can do this. We're going to make it happen. And I want to be part of it. I don't know how yet. I don't know what it looks like, but I definitely love the idea of sharing cultures, techniques, just love for each other globally.
Yeah.
I want to be part of that. And I definitely want to help kids to see that too.
I definitely see how the world would be a better place if we all learned each other's, ways of making things, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you can learn so much from textiles in itself.
Yeah.
There's books dedicated to learning history through textiles, and wouldn't that be interesting? How it recycles and how the Silk Road was something that created the cultures and civilizations and such. Maybe that's our way that we heal the world.
Yeah.
It's definitely again.
Definitely.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, this is so amazing. I'm so glad that we have done this again. The first time was a hiccup, but we just got together and did this again. And I think this conversation is just as amazing, if not even more than the first time we tried.
Okay.
But yeah, thank you so much again for your time, for doing this the second time with me. And I'm so happy that you are a part of this podcast. Thank you so much for being
thank
in the
you.
Art scene.
I'm honored. Thank you so much. And I love watching and listening to the different podcasts. It's a great community you're building here. So.
I like to think so. And I genuinely am amazed with every single person I've been communicating with.
This. Right?
Just, yes.
People are fascinating.
Yeah.
If you let them speak their truth, it's I love people watching. I love getting into the heads of an artist or a writer or a musician. Fascinates me.
And it's a very enriching experience.
I bet it is.
Absolutely. So thank you, Bree, for enriching my world today. And I hope our listeners too. So very quickly, tell people how to find you online.
Sure.
And I will make sure to put all the links and references and some pictures of your projects for people to see in the show notes. But just quickly tell us how to find you.
So Instagram, brie.angela.design, and brieangela.com is my website. But just reach out to me And I'm always up for collaboration or a new project, or just honestly, I'm trying to find people of like mind that want to create a new experience for children, you know, something that's not been done yet. So, hey, let's collaborate.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, and we'll see you next time in the art scene.
Okay, thank you.
It has been another episode of In the Art Scene podcast. If you liked today's conversation, please give us a good review on Apple and go listen to other great stories. Check out our website intheartscene.com or follow us on Instagram at intheartscene for more content. If you are a creative and you want to share your story, shoot us a message from the website or DM us on Instagram. Look forward to seeing you next time in the art scene.